Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast, brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me, as usual, is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, John. How are you doing tonight?
Oof, long day, but I'm enjoying the short ones.
Well, okay, we'll have to introduce you to a few.
Not any short ones at all. Like to see a few.
Okay.
Today we're going to discuss the Chunichi Dragons. Even though they didn't clinch today, we were all ready for them to do so. We're going to talk about the Swallows and some other CL stuff. We're going to talk about the Pacific League, some hitting streaks, and some more things. So let's get started by clearing the bases.
All right.
All right, well, my Dragons were sitting on the doorstep, and they were knocking on the door, sort of, and they couldn't get in.
That's what the Dragons do, you know. I mean, it's not just the Dragons. The Tigers do it. The Giants do it. Pretty much every team in Japan, as soon as they're, like, on the verge of clinching, they clinch up.
Nice one. I like that. I don't know about clinching up because, I mean, you know, in the first game of this three-game weekend series, Hiromitsu Ochai, the skipper, sends out a butt rookie to start that game on Friday night. What'd you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, nothing. What is Ochai going to do that surprises me? Nothing yet.
I don't know. I had two ideas that came to mind. One was he likes to play head games. We know that.
Yep.
This was the site of his first, the playoff started in 2007.
The origin of the Iron Curtain.
He switched up on the Giants, tricked them up, and they never recovered. They lost the series at home. Dragons went on to the Japan series and won.
It's like Ochai won the series single-handedly.
It's like he was out there throwing the ball, catching the ball, and hitting the ball.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, he throws this kid out there. I thought it was maybe because he didn't want to expose his starters, his frontline guys, because I imagine Yoshimi and Nelson Maximo are going to be the top two starters. And he didn't want to give them anything, get a good look at his frontline starters before. He's looking down the road and he's thinking maybe we're going to meet up with the Giants again since they're playing so well. And he's anticipating they're going to get through the first round. Maybe. I don't know. It's head game. So maybe he started it already. He's like Phil Jackson, the ex-Laker coach. He gets the head games going and then, cause I thought that was weird. A butt rookie making his first pro, you know, his first appearance, his pro debut. It was senseless. Mm-hmm. It's like they threw the game away.
Well, they might as well have thrown the game away considering how Salamura's pitching.
that too. I mean.
I think that's what we've got is we've got Salamura, and he figured, well, what the heck. And the other thing is, maybe he just wanted to get a good hitter in there. I figured his team could use the extra offense, because, Mr. Ohno can hit.
Well, I wish he could hit like, you know, people hit against him, because...
Well, I should say he can hit. He's... Bad in 1,000.
unfortunately. But I don't know. I don't know how this team has won so many games over the past month. I'm happy. I got to be honest. I'm happy that they have. But I keep looking, and you know, we talked about it last week. You know, we touched on it. They're winning a lot of close games. That's what they do. But they were uncharacteristic in this particular series. They had five errors, three on Sunday.
It's pretty ugly today.
Yeah, I've not seen him kick the ball around like that in years.
To be honest, I mean, one of those errors was probably could easily have been a hit. I mean,
it was a hit.
Moreno has to make a tough play. He has to make a tough play on a bunt, and it was Fujimura who was running, and he's like, and he rushed the throw, and the throw was offline enough to drag, you know, to make the second baseman, I guess, Ibata covering, had to, you know, hang on to the ball, so he missed, you know, he couldn't hang on to first base at the same time. So.
Right, well, we won't say anything about the length of his legs, but, he could have used a few more inches on that, because that's all it was.
He had plenty when he caught that line drive, though. I didn't think he could get up that high, but...
It was coming down. There was topspin on that ball, so it was coming back at him. So I think it was an optical illusion, probably, from where you were sitting, but the replays on TV, that ball was on its way down. And so was he.
Hey, he caught the ball.
He caught the ball. I don't know.
That's all I care. He caught the ball. He didn't catch the ball.
Anyway.
Else is,
And like I told you before, and you teased me, I called him, I guess I used the wrong expression when I said heartless, but Chen really has no heart, and he really showed it on Saturday. Just, you know, it was, they were lame in that series, but Chen, in tough games, it's always a 0-0 situation and he gives up a home run. And he just misplaces a pitch, and it's every time. It's not, this is a trend, and it's not an occasional occurrence. It's a trend with him.
Might be something else. I mean, you know, it could be hard. It could just be lack of concentration.
He's concentrating on when he can get out of the game, you know, because he doesn't want to compete. He's just not, you know, there's no way we can measure it. We talked about it before. You can't measure heart, but I'm sure if we could find any tool, any, if there's some doctors who have any,
ECGs. Those measure your heart. And get one next week.
Any technology to go out there and look inside and see what their guys' competitive juices are like. They would have to reconfigure the machine, scale it down, you know, to see if they could find anything. I think the guy has zero. But anyway, we'll see how they go. We'll see how they go. I mean, they played so well against the Swallows at home.
Yeah, well, those are the games they really needed to win. The Giants are more or less okay, and the Giants have to be fair, the Giants have played well. They haven't been able to throw anything past them. They've been playing fairly solid, running the bases well, hitting, you know, taking advantage of what they got, pitching fairly well. Well, today was not pitching fairly well, but I loved Hara pulling Nishimura out when he had a 4-run lead.
What was up with that? I'm like, no way you could take this guy. It's just a couple of hits.
Well, and one of the hits, I mean, okay, we love you guys, but I'm guessing Ramirez let Chono have this fly ball to left center, and Chono lost it lost it against the ceiling.
No, I mean, what?
Because they're just standing looking at each other, and the ball drops.
Well, I mean, we said it before. I mean, Alex is a great player with the bat in his hands, but with a glove in his hands, And I didn't think he really had that ball. I think he could have run
the ball.
He could have run and dove and probably caught the ball. But
I could have had it. He was standing there waiting for it to drop. He was standing there waiting for Chono to get it, I think. And then he pulled up. Oh, okay, you take it.
All right.
So,
if you say
anyway, so that certainly wasn't that. I mean, a lot of hits aren't the pitcher's fault, but the question is, what do you do next? You know, if you can execute your pitch next, that's what counts. And I don't know that he wasn't executing his pitches, but yeah, Hara found a solution and they won the game.
3 2/3 innings, so he's got two outs and the bases are loaded on a walk, and he just yanks him. I thought he was going to bring in a left-hander, and I tried to imagine who that might be. And all of a sudden they said Romero, and I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Against a lefty.
Against a lefty.
And Donoe. Boy, I love Donoe. Reminded me, I haven't seen a player like this since former Giants, he was an all-star, I guess, all-star first baseman Kyoshi Nakahata, who used to have these at-bats all the time. Now, Donoe is up there, it's two outs and the base is loaded, and he's flailing at pitches that are about, they must be 6-7 inches out of the zone, high and away, fouling them off. And then one comes, it was a borderline pitch. I think it was a strike, but he stood there, look, we saw one come low and inside, he didn't know what it was. He stood there looking at it and complained to the umpire.
Yeah, he's like,
look, that's not fair.
Can you go back and look at the replay? I'm sure you'll agree with me, this was not a strike. He was begging.
But it was absurd after he tried to hit three pitches that wouldn't have been a strike zone in anybody's definition, and called strike three, that probably was a strike. I mean, man, Kyoshi Nakahata, in case of, for the uninitiated, was a very cheerful, energetic, they like to call these guys mood maker.
Uh-huh.
For the Giants in the 80s, and he was a real hitting talent, but he was just deadly. He had no strike, he had two things that used to drive me nuts. He had no strike zone judgment. He had no plate discipline. I'm not even certain he understood the concept of the strike zone. And he had no base running judgment.
Oh, no.
I mean, he was just horrid. He'd just be rounding the bases, like, without any sort of concern about where his teammates were, where the ball was, what the game situation was. You know, it was all about guts. And he was fun to watch. He was a big fan favorite. But, boy, he was annoying if you like to watch people play smart baseball.
Oh, no.
He could hit the ball, though.
Well, yeah. And this was the 80s? I'm sorry, the 90s.
80s.
The 80s. All right.
His final game, he had was the Game 7 of the 1989 Japan Series when the Giants completed their comeback from being down 0-3 to win it, deprive the Kintetsu Buffaloes of yet another Japan Series. They never won one. So, anyway, moving along.
Moving along. Well, I guess we can give the Dragons credit when they finally clinched this thing. And
sure.
I'm going to say when instead
it's
of
it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. They're playing the Swallows on Tuesday, so it should
I think
happen.
They're playing the Bay Stars on Tuesday.
Oh, wait. Okay, and then they get the Swallows, and then they get the Carp in Hiroshima.
So one of those three games they should be able to win. And
or the Swallows could lose a game, and that would do it.
Or the Swallows could lose for them, yeah, yeah. Well.
Or the Swallows could win all three of their games.
Don't say
Dragons,
it.
And the Dragons could lose all three of theirs. It's not going to happen, but, you know, there's always some people who would like that. Worst case scenario, Swallows could finish third to the Giants. Although, to be fair, the Giants are playing better than anybody in the league right now, so.
Yes, they are.
And if this is... this is when it counts, well, then the Giants should win the pennant. Well, they can't. Okay, so they can't, but we'll see what happens. They are playing well. They're going to be dangerous in the postseason.
All right, well, let's talk about the Swallows. I mean, we have to give the Dragons credit because, as you said before we started taping, since the All-Star break, so since July 26th, they're 40-21-7.
Yep.
The Swallows, on the other hand, are... only four games under 500, which I find surprising. 30, 34, and 6.
Which is
because
oddly,
it seems like they've lost every other day.
It's more or less where they should have been. I mean, this is how they've played all year. They've basically played like a 500 team that's won vastly more games. The Dragons, too, have followed this pattern. I mean, the Dragons aren't, you know, they're not fooling anybody either. They're a team that's won a lot of games that, let's put it this way, they've been very fortunate.
I agree. You look around. I mean, let's talk about this now anyway. I don't think they have an MVP.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a guy you could say, hey, look, this guy, without this guy, the Dragons would have been blank instead of the league champions. I mean, maybe one guy, in my opinion. I don't think you agree with it, but I think their setup man, Takuya Asao, without him, and he's made a club record in appearances this season. You know, he surpassed his club record of last season with a new club record. I mean, it seems like he's pitching every day. And because he's pitching and impacting so many games in a positive way, I would say without him locking down all these holds that they'd be God knows where.
Well, you do. You know, when you're a team that wins by smoke and mirrors the way the Dragons and... I mean, where the Dragons and the Swallows have done all year.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Okay, John will explain that in a later show, perhaps. When you're a team that doesn't score a lot but gives up a bunch of runs, yeah, I mean, they don't score many more than their opponents, than they allow their opponents to score, but they win a bunch of games, you can't really expect them to keep winning unless they suddenly... either score a lot more or allow a lot less, or some combination of that.
Right.
So, it's, you know, I think for the Dragons and Swallows, they're very lucky that the season's ending now and not 20 games from now. Because I think if this season were to go 160 games, I don't think either of these teams could beat the Giants.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And, you know, it predicated on guys being healthy for the Giants, too. I mean, on both teams. We talked about, and I always call him Engelbert, and so that's the only name I can say, Mr. Soto for the Dragons.
Engelbert.
And I said it. We said it at the same time. Engelbert. He's injured, so, you know, we can't count on him. But We can't count him in that group, but their starters have been so productive and so steady for the Dragons all season long.
Right. Well, he was a big part of it when it seemed like it was just him and Yoshimi.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, Nelson went through a spell where he lost 9 straight decisions, but I mean, it wasn't all because he was pitching horribly. It's just
they had
score runs. Yeah, sure. You didn't get any support here. But a guy like Asawa, I mean, he pitched in 78 games. He's got 45 holds. He's got 7 wins out of the bullpen, and he's got 10 saves. I mean, he's impacting a lot of games.
Okay.
And that would be a guy I would point to and say, hey, without that guy, and that's all I'm basing it on. You know, maybe somebody
else. That's one of your pet opinions.
Pet opinions. That's one of the things that I look at. I mean, you know, that's what you have to look at.
You have to look at?
That's what I have to look at. How's that?
That's what you have to look at. Don't be putting that stuff on other people.
When you look at a team, you have to say, okay, who's the guy who, without this guy, they wouldn't have been where they were? That's what I ask myself. How's that? Is that better?
You know, the guy they wouldn't be who they are without is their manager.
I agree with that. If I could,
you take Gochiai out of there, this team is nowhere.
And you know I love him. You know he's the one who got me into Japanese baseball when I came here and saw him
as
a player.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I told this story. Okay. So
I did have can I almost change the subject and talk about Ochiai for a second?
Go ahead.
I asked my buddy Mr. Shibutani. It's like spelled like Shibuya, but it's pronounced, it's read Shibutani. He's a longtime beat reporter for the Dragons and for the Chunichi Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a real heck of a nice guy. And he's had the pleasure of being on the Ochiai beat for years.
Pleasure.
Yeah. But he's a very objective, thoughtful fellow. Mr. Shibutani is, and I asked him what is up with the Dragons, and he said the situation with Ochiai is, this is his opinion, is that the Dragons had a new president in March, and he did not really have Ochiai's back, and Ochiai is sensitive, he's apparently very hypersensitive to how people respond to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and Mr. Shibutani said, Ochiai basically, Ochiai's world is divided into the people who are his enemies and the people who are his friends. There's nobody in between.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy who he didn't have a rapport with and didn't feel any support from became his enemy, and he just kind of, I'm not going to use any sort of pejorative here, but he looked down on him and he turned his back on him, and he made the team president seem unwelcome and whatever, you know. So there was a lot of negative energy coming out of the skipper, and basically the team president's response to this was to have, you know, encourage the owner that they can do better without him.
Huh. Well, that guy, we'll see how long he lasts, because next year they're going to go straight to B class with this talent, with the level of talent they have. And you know what? Now that we know for sure. In fact, I saw the announcement tonight on Yahoo.com, on YahooJapan.com. Mayumi is out as manager of the Hanshin Tigers.
Right.
Wonder if they would make a call to Mr. Ochiai, because all he does is win. And can you imagine with that better roster? I'm saying better roster. I don't mean it. Top line players.
You know,
in some spots. I mean,
Ochiai, I'm also of the mind that Ochiai is a manager who, the team is not talentless and he's making them winners, but he's finding the talent they have and you know, he's very sensitive to combinations of players and getting people to give their all and milking some skills, polishing some skills that he knows players have. So the team isn't talentless, but he's responsible for so much of that talent.
I think so, and I don't think it's all him. I think the coaching staff does a great job.
You're not kidding.
They do a lot of, I mean, you said, I mean, you know, Mori is my favorite coach,
sure.
One of my favorite coaches in Japan. I sit down and talk with him. He tells me He tells me everything, and all the Japanese reporters come over afterwards and say, how can you get him to talk to you for so long? He never talks to us. He won't give us 2 minutes. He sits there and talks to you for 10 or 15 minutes. And he's
I know. He even talks to me, and I probably know less about pitching than, you know, some of the vermin that infest his grandma's house.
Well, I mean, and these guys, the entire staff is good. So I don't want to give all the credit to OGI.
But I think that credit belongs to OGI because he has a sort of a major league management style, which he gives the coaches responsibility. And Maury told me, we've talked about this in the past, and I've gotten some steam out of his ears. Talking about Japanese coaches this and Japanese look, not all coaches are the same. You know, I've gotten pretty annoyed with him. But the point being, what I like about OGI, I mean, there are things I really despise about him, but what I like about him is he lets, and I tell everybody this, he lets the players play and he lets the coaches coach. He sets people's goals and tells them, you know, what he expects them, and he expects them to do it. He tasks the coaches with coming up with demanding, effective practices. You go to a Dragons practice, it's not like other teams practice. I've never seen another team in Japan practice the way the Dragons do in spring training. Okay. It is creative, it is hard. I think that's the two things. It's hard and it's creative. The coaches work overtime, you know, trying to have practice routines that are going to get players focused on some kind of task instead of the routine. Spring training is so routine. And I'm amazed some players haven't just, you know, I don't know how they don't fall asleep on the field.
Yeah, you can sleepwalk. Okay, we're going to do, base covers at first. We're going to do the wheel play. We're going to do pitching drills. We're going to do ground balls, you know, this way. Turn double plays, blah, blah. It's all scripted. They get up. They do the same thing.
They have sheet infield, which is a simulated infield practice where they'll have base runners. When I watched the Dragons and the Tigers do the same drill on consecutive days. Mm-hmm. The Tigers were doing it like the guys on the bases were running so they would not be safe.
Get me out, please.
So nobody had to hurt themselves.
Right.
They were going from A to B. The Dragons guys were out there hot. The guys on the bases were flying. These guys had to work to get them out. I'd never seen that in any other Japanese camp.
Well, Hanshin Tigers, yeah. I wouldn't be. I'm going to start the rumor here. I mean, I haven't read anything. I haven't heard anything. I just can't imagine that he's going to be sitting around without a job for very long. And if the
that's what Shibutani said too. He said some team that appreciates winning,
yeah,
will get him.
Yeah, and they have an opening, so we'll see how that goes. Now, speaking of Hanshin, Matt Mertens,
right,
fourth longest hitting streak in Japan came to an end. This was Tuesday at Yomiuri. At Tokyo Dome. And I mean, they pitched to him, you know. I got to respect that. You know, we talked about it. We touched on it for just a moment last week. Maybe they wouldn't pitch to him. Maybe they might pitch around it. But they did pitch to him. He walked once, but, you know, you got, I think, Fujimura Daisuke made a good
ball. You know what? That was the first walk he's ever drawn against Utsumi.
Career-wise.
Yeah, well, what career he's played? He's probably at like 40 at bats or something, and he's hit Utsumi really well. So they had a couple of situations where Craig Brazel was batting in front of him with runners on base, and Brazel has not yet hit Utsumi. I wasn't surprised to see that Utsumi go after him. I mean, really go after him.
Right.
And Brazil had some good at-bats, but he just couldn't keep it up because he didn't want to face Merton with a bunch of guys on base because he has had real trouble getting them out.
Well, he did.
He did that day. One time Fujimura got him out, and one time he walked him. So.
Yeah, and then he came up. But, I mean, you know, he finishes with a pretty hitting streak that I think will stay around for a while. Again, you know, they don't even start talking about these things. A guy sneaks up on you. All of a sudden, they start talking about it when they get to about 20. And so teammate Takahiro Arai also had a 22-game hitting streak. You know, I knew that he had hit in the teens last week. Right. I knew he was in the teens, but they didn't really keep talking about it every day. And then once he got to 20, then it was big news, but it ended today. he's out at 22 games. Well, what's up with all these hitting streaks this year?
Just luck. I mean, it's just random. I'm sure, you know, these things are largely random. Players get hot and, you know, they hit balls. They're hot, but they're hitting balls at fielders. These times they weren't, you know, they get, you need a lucky break here, you need a lucky break there. I don't think the balls, actually, to be honest, to be fair, what I noticed this spring,
mm-hmm.
was when I was looking at how the offense had changed from a year ago, was that singles were actually up.
Huh.
So it doesn't surprise me. What was down was the extra bases, but actually there were more singles than before. So guys who hit for a good average, you know, they shouldn't be really that impacted,
mm-hmm.
Because they weren't losing the home runs. Again, these streaks happen in the second half, whether that's valid or not. But I think, just random. I mean, it's like the time we had four cycles in a 2-month, you know, it was probably about 5-week period. I'm going to say it was in 2001.
Okay. I don't remember that. But I do remember after Matt Merton set the team record.
Right.
With, I think that was the when he got to 29 games, was it?
28.
Shinjiro Hiyama, whose record he broke, was sent up as a pinch hitter right after he got the hit to break the record. I don't know if we should call him former skipper Akinobu Mayumi or...
Yeah, he's just soon-to-be. Well, he and Ochiai are the soon-to-be former managers.
What was the message there? I mean, what's up with that? It was very intentional, I think.
I wonder. I don't know. Was there any game situation that called for it? I wasn't watching the game. I wasn't. I was out with friends.
I don't know. I, Merton's batting sixth, so the seventh place batter came out of the game. I don't remember. I just found it odd.
Could have been symbolic.
I wasn't actually watching the game either. I was on the way home and listening to another game.
Okay.
I just saw on the computer,
right,
that the pinch hitter came up, and just kind of strange. I don't know why they do things like that in Japan, but I know that I talked to Matt when he tied the club record, and
right.
he didn't even know. We talked about this last week. Mm. He didn't even know that it was his teammate, and, you know, an active player still on the team whose record he had even.
Right.
And so maybe they wanted to introduce the two.
Well, we had a nice chat on, what day was it? Was it Tuesday? It was the day he got to the 30th. He had his 30th hit. They were batting after each other in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Matt batted first and Hiyama batted after that. And I asked both of them to come over and talk. And it just happened that Matt was going on, had some other people to talk to, and Hiyama finished batting.
Uh-huh.
And came up and joined the conversation, and we had a nice discussion there, and Matt said that the interesting thing was he felt, you know, it was so easy to have a hitting streak when his team was doing well because there was no attention on him. In fact, nobody even talked about it until it was about 23 or 24 games.
Right.
And Hiyama said, it was an absolute contrast with what happened to him, which was in 2001 when the Tigers were under Katsuya Nomura, and every year under Nomura, they played fairly well through June, and just dove, it was a nosedive into the cellar. So they were pretty much on the way to the cellar in their fourth straight last place finish when Hiyama has this hitting streak.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, the reporters had nothing else to write about except my hitting streak. So they kept bothering him before every game. How are you going to hit today? How do you hit this pitcher? What are you going to do if you see this reliever? And he was just driving them nuts.
Yeah. And I mean, you need that. That's part of the whole aspect of getting a hitting streak is to have everything go right for you.
Right. Well, yeah. He was going nuts, and he said the pressure was really killing him. He doesn't know how he got hits in the last three games.
Well, When you don't have to worry about winning the game, I guess that's all there
is. Easier, but...
Yeah, you would think so. All right, well, let's go over to the Pacific League. Now, the interesting thing, I was hoping that it would come down to the last game.
Right.
And it looks like it's going to. In terms of that last playoff spot, the Lions
right.
against the Buffaloes. Now, I had a friend of mine send me an email and says, what happens if they're tied?
Ah.
And I started, I called a beat reporter, another friend of mine, and they sent an email. So I don't know if this is actually true or not. Did you have time to look on the MPB website?
No, because you sent me the answer.
I sent you the email, too. Well, it's just an email that I got from someone. Now.
Oh, I thought it sounded so official, John.
Well, it was written very well. The guy's a writer.
Well, that means we all must be good. We all must be doing things that are well written.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, he says it's the tiebreaker is head-to-head. They don't have a one-game playoff, which right. we would love to see, by the way, MPB, if you want to do that. But, of course, they'd have to go through the players' union and blah, blah, blah,
don't
blah.
Don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Oh, they don't even do that anymore?
No, they don't. They avoid the player union as much as possible. It's like the tarp, it's the briar patch.
No.
Man, we're not going there.
So they wouldn't even move to get something like this going because they...
Like doubleheaders? No, the union doesn't want them, so we're not going to ask.
We're not going to even bother to ask.
Nope.
Thank you very much. All right. So they just decided on the head-to-head battle. And looks like if Oryx wins on Tuesday, they're in.
Right.
Clean and simple. Now, I don't know about ties and everything. If... The Lions also play on Tuesday, but they play tomorrow. They play on Monday as well. So they have to win on Monday.
So, yes, if Oryx ties and Cebu wins two games, then the Lions will go in head-to-head because they're 15-9. I will just confirm that the Lions are 15-9 against the Buffaloes because who knows? I might not be reading this right.
Okay.
And we just put this in, don't
so, yeah, ball. So with that tie today, that throws off the number of games, right? So
correct. So they can't really, unless Oryx ties, they can't finish in a flat-footed tie.
Right. Oryx is 69-67 with seven ties right now. Save was 67-67 with eight ties. So Oryx doesn't really...
So actually, Oryx,
doesn't
Oryx
have to win.
A loss, a tie is as bad as a loss.
Right, right.
They got to win.
So
Cebu's got to lose a game.
Yeah, a win puts Oryx at 70 games, and that would be out of Cebu's reach. So we'll see how that works out. It's been a great run by the Lions. I'm really impressed.
I think both of them. I think both those teams. The Lions are less surprising. The Buffaloes, to me, are more of a surprise.
Yeah, they were. I mean, we talked badly about them a number of times, and.
We don't need to repeat what we've said, but some of the things that Okada says, and I think it's it's not necessarily what Okada says, but how the media reports him.
Mm-hmm.
He's very quotable, and they're very good.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Because he never finishes a sentence, and then he goes.
Well, okay. Well,
that
doesn't. Yeah, he's nah. But
it's hard to decipher and sift through all that stuff to find out what he actually means. I mean, sometimes he comes up with a good line.
Yeah, sometimes he does, and then he's very good. Reporters are good at winding him up. This is the other thing: is they know he says what he means. He's got a little bit of the Mark Croon in him, which is
which part?
I mean,
you got to define that. That's
the part where he'll say what he means.
Okay.
And whether it's Tyrone Woods is the same kind. He's not overly concerned about what you think. About what he thinks, but he's going to tell you what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And Okada's the same way. And what he'll do is reporters will wind him up, and sometimes he'll just get throw him on a tangent, and he'll say the weirdest things because it's out of the blue. And you see these quotes from Okada about how these guys don't have what it takes to win a pennant race because they're not concentrating. And all I can think is a reporter asks him a question like, "What do you think about those guys not concentrating?" Maybe Okada said something like. Well, I think this is a concentration issue. He says, well, what happens when a player's not concentrated? How come, was this guy not concentrating? He says, well, you know, if you can't concentrate, then, you know, you don't really belong in a game like that. You don't understand the importance of the situation. And so they make it sound like Okada's intentionally going after players, but in fact the press is going after him, and he's just filling it, you know, completely.
Right, well, they're hitting the button.
He's connecting the dots.
Yeah, they're hitting the button, and they get the comment that they want, and then they go in.
Yeah, Marty Brown told me a situation like that, and he was very upset with some of the Hiroshima beat writers. Basically, the Hiroshima beat writers wound up Okada into saying some kind of ludicrous things, and Marty says it's not him talking, it's the beat writers. But I heard these quotes of him ripping into his players, and I thought, well, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, I mean, a bad sign. And you know, the worst sign is that they're 3-8 this month. But, you know, they won enough to keep their foothold on this third place spot. But they're looking really bad. As great as they looked in September.
Right.
And looking, you know, they're looking pretty iffy. I mean, they look like they're going to disappear from the playoffs before they even realize they've started playing enough.
Yeah, so, yeah, could be. Could be. I mean, everyone says it, and I think it's absolutely true. Nobody's as good as they look when they're top form, and nobody's as bad as they look when they can't do anything. And the Buffaloes are probably right in there, right in between there. They're nowhere near as bad as a team as they're playing right now, and they're not as good as a team as they played last month. So the Lions, however, they've had issues. They've had issues to deal with. The team's combination seemed to work. You know, the starting pitching was a disaster early on. And,
But they took your favorite son out of the rotation, and that seems to have helped them with Ishii coming out of the bullpen now.
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, Watanabe is not afraid to do things, and the thing that Watanabe has that Hara Tatsunori has, and I think that Ochiai has, is that he's really, let's stay apart from Ochiai because it's a different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But what they have is the ability to work with their straight shooters and young players. You know, they don't lie to players about what their roles are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says he's going to give you a chance, he's going to give you a chance.
And we've seen it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If he says you're going to be here for a week and I'm sending you back down, but don't worry, you're going to come back up, just keep busting your butt, that is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's, you know, moving around all these players, and you know, he's got these players on the farm team, if you're degrading your assets by not telling them the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not giving them any hope that anything they do is going to be good enough. You know, you're shooting yourself in the foot. But the thing that Hara can do and Watanabe can do, and a few other managers, I'm guessing that Akiyama's really good at this from what I've seen in SoftBank, is that, you know, he calls on these guys and says, you know, this is, I need you now, and these guys come up and produce. They've been doing it year after year, and things, you know, nothing seemed to work for the Lions, but I'm not surprised when they play well with guys who have little or no experience.
Well, you know, talking to my friend who likes the Lions. I really looked at the first part of the season. They uh-huh. seem to be in a rebuilding kind of a situation. I mean, you know, they played the kid Akiyama from opening day. Asamura's gotten his chance. They're kind of in a rebuilding phase. I mean, not so much with the rotation and the pitching staff.
Well, that was just injuries, I think, mostly.
Yeah, but I think, you know, and we were supposed to see Oishi.
And he's been hurt.
And he's been hurt. And I think they were going to try to transition, you know, some young guys into the pitching staff. But definitely in the field, you know, we're looking at a transition phase.
And then Kadoka was hurt.
Well, yeah, and now he's having surgery. So, I mean, that's not even – even if they were going to make the playoffs, they wouldn't be seeing him. But, I mean, I just see them in a rebuilding situation. And the winning was gravy for them this year, in my opinion. And the manager has been what he is. I mean, he's, you know, he's telling these young players they're going to get a chance, and obviously they're playing, but I think they have to play them. You know, they're expecting in the off season they're probably going to lose Nakajima.
Sure.
So they have to get the you know, a young replacement ready. Who else are they going to lose? I can't remember.
Nobody, I don't think. Not this year.
Yeah, somebody, I think there was a... But, I mean, you know, it just seemed like they're in a rebuilding situation anyway. I didn't think winning was the main priority. Yeah, they want to win and put butts in the seats and have a successful season, as usual.
I wonder.
But I wondered about that because they have to
integrate
these new players in. They have to.
Well, you know, Watanabe is one of these guys where winning is part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a we're rebuilding and we're going to, you know, take it on the chin this year with the young guys. I think his plan is these young guys can play and they might not, okay, it might take weeks, it might take months, but they will be, you know, better. You know, they'll make us a better team this year than the alternative. I don't think he's not a rebuilding guy. I don't think that's part of his game plan. I mean, other than on a weekly basis where, you know, this is something that, you know, we're going to take it on the chin this week because I don't have any options.
Right.
But I think his long-term plan is to go with the guys he thinks are going to get him to win. But usually that plan involves young kids, being patient with young kids.
And that's what they've done this year, you know.
They've been doing this year after year. Yeah. I mean, last year, they got a lot of help from Jose Fernandez in the second half. So that's a strength. And I think I'm not surprised that they come together as a team. I'm surprised that, I was surprised that anybody thought that anybody in the organization thought they could win the league.
Well, you know, I'm surprised that Nishiguchi won so many games and that Wakayu lost so many or didn't win as
well.
You know, that's the surprising part about that team because you figure you could pencil those guys in. Kishi was injured. You never know about these guys coming back from injury. And he's won five straight decisions, so he's come back in the second half.
Yeah, he's healthy.
He's strong again, and he looks to be healthy finally. Hoashi's had a year where, you know, you wonder what's going on with him. He's been up and down.
You see, Kikuchi appears to be worth the trouble.
Yeah. We'll see how he does next year. I think next year he's going to have his chance to fill a spot there. But I think they're going to be a vastly different looking club next year. But they've gotten these kids some playing time already now, and they know what they need to work on, and they know what to, you know, how to guide them into next season and what to tell them to do in the off season. And I think, you know, hopefully they'll be better next year. We'll see. I mean, you know.
I think they will be. I think, I love the idea. I love the idea that as a manager that the winning is important because these guys are used to being expected to win.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, I understand from an organizational standpoint wanting to win, but as a manager you never want to. I mean, from an organizational standpoint of wanting to rebuild.
Exactly.
But from a manager's point of view, oh, never. I mean, you win. I mean, I was probably making. I don't know any managers who actually think, well, I can't really win with this team. So, although it does happen at the lower rungs.
Yeah. Well, now what about the Hawks? I mean, I posed this question to you, and in all seriousness,
I got an aversion.
I'm sorry.
And I had an aversion to it.
My question is, are they peaking too early? Are they peaking in the regular season, and we're just going to see them fade in the postseason?
Don't think so. I don't buy that. I mean, I don't buy that what they've done, you know, in the past 3 weeks or the past 4 weeks or the past month is any indicator of what they're going to do in the next. I mean, we know more or less they're a really good team.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is not my question. I'm just posing this question.
No, I think it's a good question.
For the purpose of discussion, my friend.
Okay. Now, the question is this: do you think they're playing absurdly above their abilities? I mean, are they right now where the Marines were at the end of the season?
No,
last year, with all these guys who couldn't pitch, you know, pitch an inning without walking three guys, suddenly looking like the greatest bullpen in the world.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they've done something that's really smart, and what they've done, and of course some of it was because of injury, but they've made the regular position, they've given those guys in the regular spots time off, and the guys they've inserted to come in and play spot, make spot starts or take, you know, a couple games here and there have produced, and it's kept everybody sharp.
Sure.
Everybody, because they're all producing. And, you know, even when they did have injuries, especially in the outfield, the guys who came in really produced. They didn't lose a beat. In fact, they've been even better in the second half. They've been amazing. And the other day they clinched, what was this? They have a winning record against the other 11 teams in Japan. Because they had a winning mark against all the Central League teams.
Never happened
Interleague.
Before.
And this is the first
Never
time.
Never happened before.
Yeah, it's
because,
the first time.
Because teams haven't been able to do that since, except since 2005, so.
Well, yeah, so we were talking since 2005, but I mean,
right.
You know.
Pretty amazing.
They've inserted guys who've been in the minors or who've been sitting around on the bench, and they produce. So I don't think you can say they necessarily peaked too early because they're a well-oiled machine, and every link in the chain has been productive.
Hey, could they fall flat tomorrow? Sure,
they could.
Every team has its ups and downs, and it could happen tomorrow. But there's no reason to think that each team. You know, we don't really know how good the Hawks are. We don't know how good any team is. We can only see how they win, how they score. So,
well, I mean,
I don't. No, go ahead.
They're not invincible. And,
no.
They had some
games against the Fighters where it looked like they were destined for second place.
Yeah, that was early on in the season because everything.
No. I'm talking about in August when the Fighters were coming on and making a run for it.
Yeah,
and, it's going to be a showdown, and then the Fighters slammed them around a little bit, and then the Hawks went back to Sapporo and slammed them around.
Yeah, I don't remember it that way, but. Okay, if you say so. I remember them going into Fukuoka and losing 2 out of 3, and then getting swept at home. The Fighters did. So I don't remember them.
Might not have been the Fighters, but what I am saying is that the Hawks have they've had stretches where they look lost,
mm-hmm.
but that's because that happens to everybody.
Yeah, that's a long season. There's peaks and valleys, and like you said before we started taping, they're not gonna be able to sustain a high level of play all the time, and they're not going to fall too low and hit the skids for a long time either. They're just good. I'm just, I'm ready for this playoff to start tomorrow. Let's go. Let's get it going.
Right. So we want to see. I mean, then the ultimate question with the Hawks is, will this be their third playoff series victory?
Well, you know what? This is the thing. They just have to figure out how to get through the second stage of the playoffs. I think once they get to the Japan series this year, I'm going to pick them to win. Now, whether they win or not.
I think so. I think,
but I'm going to pick them.
Well, I think the Giants.
I think if the Giants get there, I would like their chances. I don't know about
the only Giants. I think are the only team in the Central League that can take them.
Well, they can produce offensively with them if they're producing, especially like they did this weekend. But
the Hawks are tough because they're a better defensive team than they're as good as a defensive team as the Dragons are. They're as good a defensive team as anybody in Japan right now.
They've got speed, they've got pitching, they've got power. They're stacked.
They got guys on the bench
who start,
should be on the bench. I'll tell you, they've got so many guys who just have no place. They need a bigger parking lot for these talented players. They got no place to put them.
Well, the first stage of the Climax Series starts for both leagues on October 29th, and we will assume nothing in the Pacific League. In the Central League, it's probably going to be...
It's either going to be the Giants...
At Jingu or at Tokyo.
Yeah, I think the chances are small that it'll be the in Nagoya, but it's going to be either Jingu. Chances are it will be at Jingu. But there's also a good chance it'll be at Tokyo Dome.
Right, right.
Either way, best of three at the second place team in both leagues.
And then the Central League second stage gets started on November 2nd, and that will be at, I believe, Nagoya Dome.
Even
my heart.
Will be in. Yeah, well, we all care about your heart, John.
Oh, thank you.
We all do.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The following day in Fukuoka.
Fukuoka was...
If things retain, they haven't announced the times for the Pacific League games, but the chances are they'll probably, all the weekend Pacific playoff games will probably be in the daytime.
Yay, day games, you gotta love them.
You do indeed.
All right, and the game one of the Japan series right now is scheduled for November 12th.
Right, so put that on your calendars.
Yes. Now, Ma-kun, Masahiro Tanaka threw another shutout today. I think it's his sixth of the season. His ERA is 1.27. He's won the ERA title, and we'll talk about titles next week, so do your research, Jim.
Can you spell Sawamura Award?
Did I pick that dude or what? You did too.
We both picked him.
I'm giving you credit. Give me a second here. You did too, but I picked him first.
True enough.
All right, cool.
Because he had a substantial, you know, he didn't have, Darvish had like three more wins than he did at one stage.
At that time, and then all of a sudden, Darvish didn't win a few games. And
Darvish has won two games since then, and Ma-kun's won six.
Yeah. Yep. Who's your top pitcher now? How you like me now? Gotta love it.
Dude.
So the batting title in the Central League is probably going to go down to the last game between Matt Merton and Hisayoshi Chono of the Giants. So we'll keep an eye on that. And we'll talk about the title lists next week.
Okay.
All right. Send some questions. We need questions. We're going to have questions in the off season to sustain programs. So if you want to hear us, please send in your questions to yakujohn@gmail.com.
What was that address again?
Yakujohn, yakujohn@gmail.com. Or you can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. We're there. You can download and subscribe. Thanks a lot for listening.
And we will be talking to you again next week.
All right, buddy. Good job, man.
Hey, good night.
Enjoy your baseball.